And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
It is hard to believe it. We're just two sleeps away from the Stanley Cup playoffs getting underway. Let's get you set for your playoff pools, brought to you by good friends over at Skip. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice. Nick Elberga, Pete Jensen, and Anadu with you. What's going on, Pete?
Hey, Nick. Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL, and I'm excited for playoff pool drafts coming up very soon. Anna, we have most of the matchups as of record time, six of the eight, and we got a great guest for you here, too.
Yeah, I'm really excited for the postseason. We have some very interesting first-round matchups as well, particularly excited for Toronto and Boston, but a lot to talk about, Nick.
All the series are going to be fantastic as you bring in the one and only from SiriusXM NHL Network Radio. It is Jake Hahn. What's going on, Jake?
Not too much, guys. Happy to be here, as always. And I'm also very appreciative of the quick turnaround this year between the regular season and the playoffs. I am impatient for the playoffs to start. So one day off in between regular season and playoffs is more than enough for me.
Playoff pool action this entire episode. And Jake Hanathon, what a guest. What a guy to have on, right? He always delivers, Nick. So let's get to it. Playoff pool episode.
Our friends at Skip always deliver, and so do Pete and Anna here at NHL.com. NHL.com/fantasy for your full rankings. But, Jake, I want to ask you off the top, filling out the bracket, the most important part when beginning your playoff pool, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think taking a stance on a couple of teams as well is always important when you're going into a playoff pool. Because, look, if obviously the number of players in your pool are going to differ. You might have 12, you might have 14, 16, whatever the number might be. You're trying to win your pool. We're not trying to finish third or fourth in this pool here. So I'm fine taking some chances. If I flame out, I flame out, but I'm going for the win. So I'd like to take a stance on probably a couple teams closer to the top of the board, two of your favorites, and then maybe a couple forgotten teams, underdog teams that you can kind of go for later in your draft. So I try to rank them before, and you know, basically you get like a wish list of players that you want. So filling out your bracket, I think, is a great way to start, just to narrow down which teams you're going to want to focus in to draft players in these pools.
That's definitely the way to go in playoff pools. But I got to ask you, Jake, for me, there are the teams that stick out to me that I think are going to make a deep run. But then there's the players like Connor McDavid and Nathan MacKinnon, where even if they play one or two rounds, they might get more points than some of these guys who make the Stanley Cup final. So how do you go about that? Do you give them an advantage regardless of how far you think their teams are going to go?
Yeah, that's a great point, Anna, because these guys are so good that they can rack up enough points in a couple rounds. Like if you look at Dallas, for example, they could go to the Cup final. I think we can all agree Dallas is a great team, but when we're trying to locate, okay, which players do we take on Dallas, because they're so spread out. Carolina kind of falls into the same category as well, where outside of maybe Aho, things are very spread out there in Carolina, so it can be difficult to narrow things down. Whereas a team like Edmonton, a team like Colorado as well, so top heavy, and you can really rack up points with these guys through just a couple of rounds. So for me personally, I don't know where you guys are at on the first overall, second overall, third overall conversation, but to me, I'm willing to live and die with Connor McDavid. I understand they could get bounced in the first round, and that's the risk of these fantasy pools, but the upside to a McDavid and possibly a MacKinnon, if you want to argue that as well, that's why if I had first overall pick, I'm still turning in the card Connor McDavid and playing the upside angle there.
And wanted to mention Kucherov, who's about to win the scoring title too. I mean, he's another one of those guys that kind of just like upstaged McDavid this season, and there's a case for him at number two with the matchup coming up against the in-state rival Florida Panthers, which is a toss-up here. To me, the best matchups in the first round in terms of favorability, the Hurricanes, who I expect to make a deep run, facing the Islanders, that's a favorable matchup for them. And then the New York Rangers, Jake, against the Washington Capitals and their terrible goal differential. They should ideally be done with that series in four or five games. And therefore, Artemi Panarin, I think, after a 120-point season, Jake, has a case at number two right after McDavid goes ahead of Drysdale and the crew.
I would actually have Artemi Panarin at two on my rankings list right now. We did a list about a week ago, and I had MacKinnon at two, but I don't want to say I've completely jumped off the Colorado Avalanche, but I don't love the way that they've backed into the playoffs and now don't have home ice advantage even in the first round. Would have to go on the road through Winnipeg and likely Dallas just to make a conference final. So that's not to say you can't have success with MacKinnon or Avs on your roster, but To me, guys, I think the winner of the Stanley Cup, or at least the team that's coming out of the East, is going to be the winner of that Rangers-Hurricanes second-round series. That's how I feel. I think those are the two best teams in the East, and maybe the two best teams in the entire National Hockey League. So I'm going to favor the Rangers just ahead of the Canes because they'll have home ice advantage in that series. And if that's the case, I'm going Breadman as early as I possibly can in one of these drafts.
I think I'm probably going to be the only person in the hockey world fading the New York Rangers. Maybe not so much in the first round. I just... Something about Peter Laviolette and the Stanley Cup playoffs and the President's Trophy. That's all I'm saying. And if there's one thing I learned, Jake, from last year's Stanley Cup playoffs, just don't count anybody out. Charlie Lindgren's on a different planet right now. The Islanders are locked in. I think we're going to see, like, we love March Madness on this podcast, of course. We're going to see something we don't expect. I'm saying it right now.
Well, the narrative changes so quickly come playoff time, right? We all make our predictions before and we go, okay, Rangers in four, Canes in five. These are going to be easy series. And then all it takes is a 42-save shutout for Charlie Lindgren in game one. And all of a sudden we're thinking, hey, the pressure's cranked up on the Rangers. They better win game two or this series could start to get away from them pretty quickly. So I don't think they're going to be layups by any means, but I do think the Rangers, the Caps, we've all watched them all year. They're old, they're slow. I just don't see how they can win four games against this Rangers team. And I feel the same way about the Islanders. I think the Isles have a bit more of a fighting chance in that series against the Hurricanes, but the Canes are just on another level right now. So I do think we eventually get our Hurricanes-Rangers second-round matchup, which would just be an absolute banger.
I don't know, Jake. I feel like I'm done discounting the President's Trophy curse. I thought the Boston Bruins looked really good last year, and it caught them too. So maybe I'm a little bit with Nick on this one, but I got to ask you about Panarin specifically. Do you ever like think you might have rose-colored glasses looking at the regular season he's put up this year and be like, oh, of course he's going to be a great playoff performer if the Rangers go deep, when he really hasn't stood out in the postseason significantly in the past? Like, how much do you consider a player's playoff history compared to his regular season history?
Yeah, no, I think you have to consider it, especially when you have a bit of a file like an Artemi Panarin. It's one thing when we're talking about a young player that's maybe only played in the playoffs once, and you're thinking, okay, yeah, it wasn't a great playoffs, but they're still young, they're still figuring it out, getting acclimated to playoff hockey. Panarin's been around for a while, and we have a bit of a file on him. And I mean, last year's playoffs was a disaster. What was it? 2 assists, no goals in 7 games for Artemi Panarin in that first round loss. I think he came in this season with a chip on his shoulder. He proved a lot of the doubters wrong. But like you said, Anna, it is regular season. It's much different come playoff time. So if they flame out again and he has another disappointing playoffs, who cares what he did in the regular season? Ranger fans are going to be still up in arms about the fact that this guy can't perform come playoff time. So you have to take a stance. You have to make a decision on that. I'm taking the stance that I think Artemi Panarin is going to carry this right into the playoffs, and that he is going to play with that chip on his shoulder that I referenced. I understand the other side of the argument and looking at his playoff numbers from last year, but I think the Breadman is going to have a great playoffs this year.
We got some Toronto people in the room here, three of them. So who would you guys take out of Austin Matthews versus David Pastrnak? It's going to be a great series, a revisited. It's been Bruins heavy in the past in terms of who comes out victorious. I think there's a case, though, here with the center depth overpowering in Toronto's favor. I'm really torn on this series, but if I'm going to go based on past pedigree here and what translates to the playoffs, having two strong centers versus Pavel Zacha and Charlie Coyle should tilt the scale here, Nick.
Pete, I hate to say this. I got to go with Boston. I think the Leafs have had so many disappointing first-round exits that would it shock anybody if they beat the Leafs again? Probably not. I just think you look at what guys have done in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I think it's more evident there with David Pastrnak. I think he's the sure thing. And you don't know what you're going to get for the Maple Leafs. You don't know what the lines are going to look like. It's a tough one because the guy scored 69 goals. But, Jake, I'm probably going with David Pastrnak in this debate.
I think I'd have to lean Pastrnak as well, just because you're getting home ice advantage. But I don't want to say they're the same player, but they're very similar players in terms of what they do. If your pools are weighted heavily towards goals, well, you're getting two of the best goal scorers in the National Hockey League in Pastrnak and Matthews. So I'll lean with the team that's had the history, the recent history, the past history, whatever history you look at, it's in favor of the Bruins in that series. I do think the Atlantic Division is is more wide open than people are maybe giving it credit for, though, guys. And I think later in your pools, you could find some value on the Maple Leafs if you do feel like there's a bit of an angle there as an underdog. I think they're going to give the Bruins a great first-round series. And I feel the same way about the Tampa Bay Lightning as well. I think that series against Florida is going to be really good, and you could maybe find some value late in your draft on Tampa Bay Lightning. I think there's not much separating those four teams in the Atlantic Division for me going into the playoffs.
Unfortunately, I'm going to make it 3-for-3 and also go with David Pastrnak. Just terrible Canadians over here. But for me, I do think the series could easily go 7 games. I feel like that's exactly what's going to happen here. But Toronto has not won a single game against Boston this past regular season, too. They went, they lost 2 in regulation. They lost 2 in overtime. And they got outscored 15-7 in that span. So they have not liked the Bruins so far this year. And I'm not too high on them heading into the postseason.
There's two reasons why you take Boston. Two reasons, and it's not Pastrnak. It's Ullmark and it's Swayman, the goalie tandem, which hopefully Montgomery knows how to utilize here, over Samsonov, who you can't trust, to be honest. Yeah.
And Joseph Woll, I would throw into that conversation. If I had to make one proclamation, Joseph Woll is finishing that series to the Toronto Maple Leafs, whether it's going to round two, that's my call of this series. Such a volatile position, not just in Toronto, but the rest of the NHL. Jake, I'll piggyback off that. You talk about some of the top tandems. If you're going into a playoff pool, most pools you just draft a team, but what guys would you look at to try to pick here?
Yeah, well, I am looking to Artemi Panarin early, like we talked about. I believe in the Rangers. Clearly more than you do in terms of that. But I think you are looking towards teams, right? I like that Metro side of the bracket. You can make the strong case for the Hurricanes. Sebastian Aho would obviously be the guy that you look to if you're in your first round and the Canes are your team. I think I would avoid the Atlantic Division, at least in the first round. Like I mentioned, I think it's a little bit more wide open. I know people are going to gravitate towards maybe a Pastrnak or a couple of the Florida Panthers. You could look at Tkachuk. You could look at Reinhardt there as well. Dallas is going to be a very popular team in these playoff pools. But again, really difficult to project which star you want early. I guess we're going Robertson, but that team is as deep as it comes, right? In the Pacific Division, I think one team that's really going to get slept on, and I'm probably guilty of this as anybody, is the Vancouver Canucks, guys. They're a one seed. I don't think anybody's really going to want them that early. And if you do believe in the Canucks, which I don't necessarily, but if you're out there and you do believe in the Canucks, I think you could get some major value on their top players if you feel like they can go on a run.
Yeah, just to rephrase the question, I think you're so bang on. I think there's a lot of value in the top 15. Crease-wise, how would you attack it? Because again, I think a lot of pools will just have you pick a team, but I think in some pools you're just picking goalies. Like, who are the guys you're identifying there? You're saying, you know what, on my playoff pool roster, I'm looking at wins, looking at shutouts. Who am I going after here?
Yeah, it's a lot easier when you just get to pick the team, right? But if you have to pick individual goaltenders, it opens up a whole different conversation, because we have a lot of contentious goaltender situations going into this. I mean, Bob just referenced it with the Bruins situation. I argued last year maybe they should have just continued to split starts, go back to back, and you know, one Swayman, one Ullmark, because that's what you do for 82 games, and all of a sudden you're going to stop doing it come playoff time. I'm not saying that's why they lost to Florida last year in the first round, but I think it's something they should at the very least entertain, and that makes it very difficult going into the playoffs. So again, I think more of your safer plays are an Ottinger in Dallas, where it feels like, you know, it's his crease and there's really nobody to push him there. Bobrovsky in Florida as well for some of the top teams. But even for some of these contending teams, guys, like a Georgiev in Colorado, you know, it seems like the leash is pretty short going into the playoffs, and you're one, maybe two bad starts away from losing your starting job.
The landscape is tough, too, for individual goalies. Like Thatcher Demko's coming out. He came back from injury the other day. He's going to get another start before the end of the season here. But coming off an injury, like, all bets are off there for me. I'm not sold on Vancouver to beat Nashville. The two hottest teams in the league lately are Saros and Nashville and Vasilevsky and Tampa Bay. And those are two workhorse goalies, so you don't have to worry if anybody else is going to be getting the starts for those teams. And then, of course, there is Jake Ottinger has been red hot for Dallas. You don't know who they're going to play yet. Is it going to be L.A. or Vegas? If it's L.A., you got to get all over Jake Ottinger with how good he's been, Jake.
No, exactly. And I think that's probably the safest goaltender out there, but one of the safer plays in terms of Ottinger, because you know you're getting a team that's getting a favorable first-round matchup. The second-round matchup will get a little bit more difficult, and there's just nobody really there to push him. I mean, I guess any goaltender could lose their job in the playoffs because the pressure gets cranked up. You have a couple bad starts, you get down in the series, and the team needs to do something to wake them up or to spark the team. So I don't think anybody's necessarily immune to losing it, but I feel like Ottinger is probably one of the safer plays of the top teams.
Jake, why are we all sleeping on Connor Hellebuyck and the Winnipeg Jets right now? I feel like we've not given him nearly enough airtime. He has proven himself to be the best goaltender in the NHL this season. And the Winnipeg Jets, I actually think, if there's a Canadian team that can make it all the way to the Stanley Cup final, surprise everyone, bring the Stanley Cup back to Canada, if it was Winnipeg, would not shock me at all.
Well, watch out for the team that's playing their best hockey going into the playoffs. That might be the Winnipeg Jets, right? It was Dallas maybe a week or so ago, but Winnipeg's the team that's really cranked it up, and they went out and took home ice advantage. And I mentioned this a couple times over the last month, how important home ice advantage is in that first round series, maybe compared to other series. I don't think it matters as much in a Boston-Toronto matchup, or, you know, pick your 2-3 matchup. But I really felt like home ice advantage was important in that Colorado-Winnipeg matchup. And Winnipeg went out and took it. Colorado kind of backed into the playoffs, and I really do think that matters. And if you pull up odds boards, we're still treating the Jets like an underdog here. So there's a lot of Winnipeg Jets disrespect going on right now, and I think that's an angle you could play when it comes to your fantasy pools. Anna, you mentioned Hellebuyck. Obviously, we know that they're loaded with offensive talent as well. So I think there's, if you want to play the Jets angle, I think there's going to be a lot of value probably closer to the mid rounds of your fantasy pools.
Jake, how would you attack the blue line? NHL.com/fantasy for the full list, but the top five ranked defensemen, Quinn Hughes, Cale Makar, Evan Bouchard, Roman Josi, and Adam Fox. Who's your number one guy?
Probably Bouchard for me, guys. I understand what Quinn Hughes has done this year, and I just mentioned how there could be some value, maybe some disrespect on Vancouver, where as a one seed, you could get them kind of later. So if you like the Canucks, obviously Hughes is your guy, but I like the Oilers to go on a run this year. I do. I think the pass sets up for them fairly nice. I mean, you could hook Vegas in the first round, which is tough, but if they get through what should be a tricky first round matchup, then you're probably getting Vancouver, Nashville in the next round. I think they get through that. So I like the path and how it's setting up for the Oilers. So I'm going to be looking to draft them early. Bouchard would be my first defenseman off the board.
When you look at sleepers, Jake, and guys who have maybe underachieved in the regular season, Pierre-Luc Dubois is ranked pretty low. We don't know who the Kings are going to be playing, but how are you approaching the LA Kings in general? Like, they were top five among playoff teams in team save percentage, thanks largely to a nice, well-rounded season from the all-star Cam Talbot. But, like, is this a team that you're investing in at all from a sleeper point of view? There's also Victor Arvidsson. There's a lot to choose from some of those underdog teams like LA, namely.
Yeah, and I think that's the problem with LA for me, is there's probably too much to choose from, where, okay, they're an underdog team, but they also have a lot of mouths to feed there in that offense. So if I am drafting Kings, who am I drafting? Am I picking the right players? Are they likely going to be bounced in the first round anyways? I've usually been a Kings guy over the last few years, and they've been a team that I've targeted later in pools. And there's moments in those first round series against Edmonton where I think, ooh, okay, here we go. LA's making a move, and they just can't seem to close out that series. So I think I'm out on LA in terms of the more bottom seed underdog teams. There's other teams I think I like a little bit more in terms of their path. But if you want to build a case for them, we've seen their ceiling throughout the course of the year. If they can find that ceiling, they could be a dangerous team. It's tricky to narrow down which Kings you're going to want to draft.
I said earlier that there are 13 teams this postseason that I would not be surprised if someone made a legitimate argument that they could win the Stanley Cup. Like, out of 16, I think there's 13 ones that you could qualify. And the three that stick out to me that aren't those teams are the LA Kings, only team in the West, I think, where they just don't have that clear path. The New York Islanders in the East, and then the Washington Capitals. But other than that, I feel like it's wide open. So I kind of agree with you there, Jake, about LA. But I wonder how you would take a player that maybe has had some injury concerns heading into the postseason and hasn't performed to his level best, but is a player that has been super valuable to a team in the past and you think they're going to make a deep run. And I'm talking about Andrei Svechnikov and the Carolina Hurricanes. He's a big factor for this team, I think, if they are hoping to make it to the Stanley Cup final and get over their Eastern Conference final hump that they've had the past couple of years. But he's kind of fallen off. He's just not relevant anymore, despite the Hurricanes playing some really solid hockey to end the regular season.
Well, and I'm glad in your list of teams that can't win the cup, you didn't mention my Nashville Predators, that they actually have a legitimate shot. So I'm happy that you didn't include them in that list. But on Svechnikov, look, he's a guy I'm really looking to step up in the playoffs. I don't know if he's going to. We're totally guessing on a lot of these guys. And he's a tough player to figure out. He can get streaky. He can get hot. He can go very cold. I think that speaks to Carolina and how they spread things out. We don't know week to week who's going to be the player. And that's the beauty of the Canes. That's why they're such a good hockey team. But from a fantasy perspective, it makes it pretty difficult to draft Canes and know who's going to perform on a night-to-night basis. But we're all excited about Jake Guentzel coming over. I'm glad the Canes got aggressive at the deadline and finally pushed some chips in the middle. I think it was about time for them to do so. But at the end of the day, some of the players that were already there have to step up for this team to make a run to a cup final and ultimately win a cup. And the guy at the top of that list for me is Svechnikov. So I'd be willing to take a chance on him. I actually liked how he was playing the last couple weeks going into the season, but obviously, like you mentioned, Anna, the big picture, he is coming off of a huge injury. I'm going to choose to believe he's past that and he's starting to play good hockey here going into the playoffs.
Last season, if I asked you this, I feel like this would be a very easy answer, but this year it's a toss-up for me heading into the postseason. Given the regular season he just had, who would you rather have in your playoff pool, Seth Jarvis or Andrei Svechnikov?
I think I'm going to go Svech. I'm going to play the upside. I think Jarvis is probably the safer play here. And we saw what Jarvis did last year. I'm a big Seth Jarvis fan, so I'll certainly be looking into the prop market for him going into the playoffs. But I'm going to play the upside of Svechnikov. I like where his game is at heading into the playoffs here. So I'm gonna roll with him there.
Jake, let's talk about lineup assignments. We could tie this into the conversation about sleepers. Some guy I've definitely identified in my playoff pool is Alexi Lafreniere, Jack Roslovic, Tarasenko with Florida, Anthony Duclair with Tampa, my guy Adam Henrique with the Oilers. Maybe he starts with McDavid, Bertuzzi and Domi on the top line in Toronto, Kuznetsov, Stankoven, Monahan, Toffoli. Who are some guys outside the box that are not necessarily like your bona fide studs at the top of your playoff pools that you'd be looking at here?
I'm going with Gus Nyquist of the Nashville Predators. I know he's technically not a sleeper because he's a top line guy, but he's a top line guy on a sleeper team, right? And that's kind of what I like to look for later in my pools is, okay, what's a team I like to maybe make some noise, to upset somebody in the first round or go on some sort of run? And they're normally top line players, or at least somebody is still available. I think Gus Nyquist is somebody that's going to slide. And if the Preds do go on any sort of run, he's going to be glued to Forsberg. He's going to be glued to Ryan O'Reilly. That first power play, I think he's a name I'm going to throw in my queue instantly and hope to get him very late in my fantasy pools.
Speaking of trade deadline acquisitions that can make a big impact in the playoffs, an obvious one is Jake Guentzel of Carolina. I think a guy that I'm targeting in all of my playoff pool drafts, regardless of who they play, Tomas Hertl for Vegas. I think Vegas is live as an upset alert, regardless of whether they play Dallas or Edmonton. That should scare the daylights out of either of those teams that draws the assignment. Last time Hertl was in the playoffs, guys, 10 goals for the Sharks when they went to the conference finals in 2019. That guy's been dying to get back to the postseason the past few years, right?
Seeing Tomas Hertl in a Vegas Golden Knights jersey just doesn't feel right to me. As someone that's been a big fan of him for years in San Jose, I'm still starting to get used to that. But hey, he's kind of found it the last couple weeks. I was curious how, you know, coming off of an injury, going to a new team, finding new line mates, that's a lot to ask of a guy. And then go play some playoff hockey against either Edmonton or Dallas in the first round. So it's a big ask, but he's a veteran guy. He's been around the league for a while. I think he's going to be ready for it. Vegas is a team I think I'm out on, guys, going into the playoffs, which scares me a little bit because I was out on Vegas last year, and I think we all saw what happened, how that ended.
We discussed this with Panarin earlier, but another player that I'm just wary about, despite having a phenomenal regular season heading into the playoffs, is Sam Reinhart. How high would you take a guy like that, Jake? Because he was pretty much invisible in the postseason, but also he had a breakout year this regular season and is a completely like brand new player. But Florida is one of those teams that has sneaky depth, so you never know if he's going to be able to maintain this level of production in an actual like 7-game series in the playoffs.
I think Reinhardt's a guy you can almost scrap the past results outside of this year, because it's what you said, Anna. He's basically reinvented himself as a new player, and he's had this great 50-plus goal season, and he's going to be locked in that offense. He's going to be getting a ton of minutes, killing penalties on the power play, even strength, 20-plus minutes most nights. So I trust that Reinhardt's going to be out there. I think you could genuinely put him in the back end of the first-round conversation if you wanted to. Like I said, I'm personally probably staying away from the Atlantic Division until, you know, closer to the third, fourth round and looking at more value for the underdog teams. But if you like Florida, I think you can make a strong case back end of the first round. After Tkachuk goes, then I think you have the Reinhardt-Barkov conversation. Which one of the two do you want more in your pool? So back end of the first, early to mid-second round, I think, is when you should start thinking about those guys.
And when you look at the series matchups, Jake, we call them X factors. They're the make or break guys. You can name a bunch of them. Noah Dobson for the Islanders dealing with an injury concern. We know how good that guy's been. If the Islanders are going to win that series against Carolina, they absolutely need a healthy and productive Dobson on both ends of the ice. Tom Wilson could shake up the Rangers series. He's done it in the past. You know what I'm talking about there. Tyler Bertuzzi playing up top with Austin Matthews is a category coverage guy that was really productive last postseason with 10 points in 7 games, facing his former team for a bit in the Boston Bruins. And then when you look out west, I think like an Elias Lindholm type player and a Nikolai Ehlers, Valerie Nichushkin. Remember he left the team on the leave of absence last year in the playoffs, and they lost in the first round with the healthy Nichushkin and a productive Nichushkin. Like, they could go back to the cup final. That series is always there. And he had 6 points in 6 cup final games against Tampa a couple years back.
Big Val's a great name, I think, to bring up, actually, and might get forgotten in pools sometimes. I think you could play that out of sight, out of mind angle a little bit, just from the fact that, okay, this player's been banged up, hasn't necessarily been there on a team that's maybe trending in the wrong direction, and you could find some value. I just like the upside there. Obviously, it could go the other way. They lose in the first round, or maybe he's not 100% and he's grinding through something, but that's I think one of the key points to make about these fantasy pools is don't be afraid to take risks and try to win your pool. If you play it safe, you're likely going to build a team that finishes fourth or fifth place, and that's great, but we're trying to finish on top of the podium here.
Indeed we are. NHL.com, where you can fill out your bracket. NHL.com/fantasy, where you can get all this fantastic content. Jake, before we let you go, who is your Stanley Cup winner, buddy?
Well, you guys aren't going to like this, clearly, by what I've heard on this podcast episode so far, but I'm going to go with the New York Rangers. I think the winner of that Rangers-Kane series, if we do indeed gets it, goes to the Stanley Cup final. The West is going to be a gauntlet. It's really tough to figure out. I could see a Dallas. I could see an Edmonton maybe making a run this year with Connor McDavid, but I'm going to trust the Rangers. I think they get an easier first-round matchup. They find a way through the Canes, and then they get whoever makes it out of that that crazy mess of the Atlantic Division. So the Cup is going back to Broadway this year, guys.
Interesting. I'm speechless here. 1994 all over again. Hopefully the Knicks get there too. Knicks need to win it this time, though, guys.
Wow, 30-year anniversary, right, of the 94 team, and Hanathon takes the Rangers. A bit surprising. Jake, Golden Boy Buttercup, for coming on all year long. You've delivered for us. Appreciate it. We'll get you on throughout the playoffs, maybe on the Action NHL collaboration. So appreciate all the efforts this year.
Love coming on with you guys. It was a blast. Thanks for having me. I'll leave you with one play before we leave. You mentioned the Action, Bob. I was on the Warren Fogle goal prop on Wednesday. Look for these guys that are pushing for milestones, you know, pushing for some extra cash. Thursday night, last play before the playoffs, Quinton Byfield. This guy's playing for a little extra cash in his pocket. So fire up the Byfield goal prop Thursday night.
Jay Connan, of course, so we got his Stanley Cup pick, so it's now time for our favorites, brought to you by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. Pete, we're going to start with you. Let's start with you.
For Stanley Cup predictions, I will stick with my preseason pick of Edmonton over Carolina. I feel really confident in the Hurricanes getting there this year. They haven't been there yet in the Rod Brind'Amour era. They may very well win that matchup if the path is clearer for them in the East, but it remains to be seen. A lot of injury concerns from years past could come back to bite them. I like Edmonton and the style they're playing. Anna, ever since Chris Knobloch took over, Matthias Ekholm is healthy and playing at maybe the best clip of his NHL career offensively. And then the defensive structure of that team since the coaching change, I just like every bit of it here. They got the scoring depth, right? They added Henrique. They have Evan Bouchard playing at a high level. the big questions, just like Stuart Skinner, can he be good enough with a 900, 910 save percentage maybe to get them over the hump? It's going to be tough.
I am a loyal girl, if anything, guys. I've been saying this for 2 years, and this is the year where it actually manifests. Sticking with my preseason pick as well, have Dallas and Carolina in the Stanley Cup final. I think Carolina takes it home. And just because they actually made a splash at the trade deadline this year, this is something we have not seen from this team in the past. So if there is an injury issue with the Hurricanes, they have so much depth that I think they're better equipped than any other team to overcome it. They have players now that have done it before. They added Jake Gensel. They have Evgeny Kuznetsov. So even though they're a young team and a young core that maybe hasn't been there yet, they have players on their roster who have, which could shape up their lineup in a different way. And Dallas, they're strong. They look good. I feel like they have an easier path out of the West, maybe. Jake Oettinger is going to be the big X factor in that series. But it's Carolina's year, guys. It's going to be an all-Southern Stanley Cup final.
I would love that. I'll go with my preseason favorite. That's the Colorado Avalanche. Of course, you guys recall, picked MacKinnon for the Hart Trophy. Hopefully, I'm right on that front. But I think it's going to come down to goaltending. What goaltending are they going to get from Alexander Georgiev? Cale Makar, what are they going to get for him? Gabe Landeskog. I think Casey Mittelstadt's another sleeper I would throw into the equation. So give me Colorado. Who do you have, Bobby?
Okay, so in the East, rooting as hard as I can be for Paul Maurice and the Florida Panthers to get back to the Stanley Cup final. And then on the Western side, I am looking at Dallas. I love the mix. I love the mix. And let's forget about what I said about the LA Kings winning the Stanley Cup. We're going to get off that. Dallas with the mix of youth and veteran and the tweeners who are really not young like the Wyatt Johnson, but like the Heiskanens and the Hintzes and Pete DeBoer. So the goalie, Dallas wins the Stanley Cup final over Florida. But if I was sprinkling some wagers, the teams I would look at the Kings at a long shot, and I would look at the Predators as a long shot, and I would look at the Jets potentially as a bit of a long shot to raise the Stanley Cup in what? Probably August at this point, right? With the way the schedule's going, guys. All right, it's been a great season.
And don't forget about the NHL Action Network collaboration that's coming up later on as well. And looking forward to our Stanley Cup bets here again. That's producer Bob. Many thanks to Jay Kahn from SiriusXM NHL Network Radio. For Pete Jensen and Anna Dua, I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.